Well, good morning, everybody. Here it is. It is January the 19th in the year of our Lord 2025, and this is the Panic Podcast for Monday. Good to have you with us. It's we're coming to you from the frozen wastelands of Southwest Virginia. Bitter cold this morning, 18 degrees on the ride in. But the professional podcaster studio is good and warm. Today we're in John chapter 14, but we're really going to be talking about why God wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why does God want you to have the Holy Spirit? We'll find out on today's Panic Podcast. I think we're ready to go here. Okay. Finished my coffee, and even as we're speaking, I'm trying to plug in my headset. Give me a second here. Okay, there we go. Okay. Why does God want you to have the Holy Spirit? Have you ever wondered about that? Like, what was his motivation in wanting you to have his Holy Spirit? John 14, verses 16 and 17 say this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." I always thought that was an interesting couple of verses, and I want to spend today talking about that. Motivation is kind of a tricky thing. It's tricky when it comes to human beings, and it's also complicated because, like, rarely do we do anything for one reason. Like, for example, we may obey the speed limit because it's the law, but in all probability, we obey the speed limit not because it's the law, primarily. It's because we don't want to pay a fine if we get caught speeding. Or we almost always say nice things about a dead person, especially at a funeral, because we don't want to offend people, not because the dearly departed was really nice in life. So motives are tricky when it comes to human beings. Now, another area where motives are almost always fuzzy is in the area of gift giving. Like, for example, sometimes a gift is really a bribe. No, I mean, it's true. Like we want somebody to do something for us later on, so we give them a gift now. Now, this might have happened to you. By the way, you should know that the Bible specifically forbids the reception of gifts on the part of judges and others whose opinion could be influenced by the gift. That pretty much disqualifies the American government, doesn't it? Other times, you may give or receive a gift out of courtesy. For example, if you're invited over to a friend's house for dinner, you may bring dessert or some other gift with you, and that's okay. And if you're the creative type, which I'm not, but if you're the creative type, you may, do a sketch or paint a picture or take a picture or write a poem or a song for somebody and give it to the person as a gift to cheer them up, or maybe for no particular reason. Even a sincere expression of gratitude could be considered a gift. Like, I'll give you, when contractor Jesse does a job for you, you may give him a little extra. And that could be a gift for a job well done, or it could just be a way of ensuring that the next time you need him for something, like an emergency repair, he'll show up. And sometimes a gift can take the form of simply an act of genuine love. You do some kind thing for somebody that means something to you. Well, God has graciously given His Son for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God has, through His Son, given to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:33, Jesus has been raised to the right side of God, His Father, and has received from Him the Holy Spirit, as He had promised. What you see and hear is His gift that He has poured out on us. But why did God give His people the gift of the Holy Spirit? What was His motive or His motives? And that's what I want to spend just a few minutes talking about today. By the way, I hope you all had good church services yesterday. We had a wonderful service. It was a baptismal service, baptized Tracy and Travis, and it was just a beautiful service, and it was a pretty decent crowd for a bitter cold Sunday morning, but it was nice, and as a matter of fact, we're draining the hot tub right now. We wanted to get it drained and dried up before the really cold weather sets in tonight. Gosh, it's going to be bitter cold. And I don't know if any of you have looked at the long range forecast, but did you know they're calling for a foot of snow this coming weekend? Possibly a foot of snow. Now, that could change, but if that holds, I can guarantee there's going to be no church on Sunday. A foot of snow shuts down Wise County. Well, about 2 inches of snow pretty much shuts down Wise County. Just really cold and wet this winter. Well, the Holy Spirit was given because Jesus wanted to be with His disciples at all times. And that kind of captures the heart of His farewell discourse John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. You get the impression that Jesus, He knew that His hour had come. His time on earth was short. And He was preparing His friends for His soon departure. And He really wanted to leave. He really wanted to be with them. And He'd promised that He would never abandon them. He would never leave them as orphans and so on. And as He was doing this, as He was being open and frank and preparing to leave this earth, He assured His friends of an unbreakable companionship and bond through the Spirit. This divine provision not only comforted the disciples, but it also equipped them for their mission, ensuring Jesus' presence transcended physical limitations. John 14:15-16 says, "If you love Me, you will obey My commands. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God." Now those are an interesting couple of verses there, because in them, Jesus links obedience to His commands or His teachings with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus portrays the Holy Spirit as another helper. He said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. Implying like a continuity with His own role at the moment. And the Greek word that's translated helper, or advocate, or comforter, depending on your translation, is Parakletos, which when you translate it literally, it means someone called alongside to help. And it's really a legal word emphasizing support and guidance, like a lawyer. So by promising not to abandon his friends as orphans, Jesus revealed his intent. The Holy Spirit's arrival would ensure, would guarantee his ongoing presence in their lives. And this isn't a temporary fix, but it's an eternal companionship, because the Holy Spirit will stay with Jesus' people forever. Building on this, John 14:26 kind of expands the Spirit's role. Jesus said, "The Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Now listen to this. "He will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you." That's a wonderful promise. Just think about how many sermons you've heard in your lifetime, or Bible studies that you've attended, or how many panic podcasts you've heard. You've heard the Word read, you've heard the Word taught and interpreted, and all that teaching goes into your brain. But I bet you forget a lot of it, or you think you've forgotten a lot of it. Well, the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does is he brings back to your minds passages of Scripture, solid Bible teachings, at a time when you need those things. You're going to face some crisis or some decision that you have to make. The Holy Spirit, if you're paying attention, he's going to come, he's going to bring all that stuff that you learned, all those Bible verses that you studied, he's going to bring that back to your memory, help you make decisions, guide you into the truth. So the Holy Spirit then serves as a kind of divine teacher and reminder, perpetuating our Lord's teachings. And this aligns, I think, with Jesus' broader assurance in Matthew 28:20, where he says, "And I will be with you always to the end of the age." Now, that's the Great Commission, but this verse echoes the Holy Spirit's enabling presence, fulfilling Jesus' promise of constant companionship. And Jesus goes a little bit further in John 16:7, and by explaining the absolute necessity of his departure so that the Spirit could in fact come. Jesus said, "But I'm telling you the truth. It's better for you that I go away, because if I do not go, the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you." This departure, Jesus exiting earth, was in no way abandonment, but it was a strategic move to multiply his presence. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus would be able to indwell every single believer simultaneously all over the world for generations to come, completely unbound by time or space. Now, when a person is born again, he is immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. This amazing gift from God is given to him. But now there's a very interesting verse that we read in Luke 11:13. Because it encourages Christians to seek this gift. Luke 11:13. Listen to this. This is Jesus teaching. "As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit," listen to this, "to those who ask him?" So there is a sense, I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on this today, might do it sometime in the future, but excuse me, there is a sense that even though you as a believer may be completely filled with the Holy Spirit, which you are, God will give you even more of the Holy Spirit's presence if you earnestly wish to receive more. Like, God is willing, he's more than willing to provide as much of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life as you need or want. I mean, he's an amazing gift, this Holy Spirit, who reflects Jesus' profound love and commitment to his disciples. And far from leaving them alone, he ensured them that his presence would continue through the Spirit's indwelling, teaching, empowering, and life-giving and life-transforming work. Well, for us today, I mean, that simply means that Jesus is always with us, all the time. There's literally no place on earth you can go as a Christian without Jesus' presence in your life, guiding you in decision-making, comforting you during trials. And this means that Jesus is with you always, empowering you for service. I want to encourage you, before we go any further, embrace the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore him. Let him draw you into a deeper intimacy with our Lord Jesus, thus fulfilling his desire for eternal companionship. Well, the Holy Spirit was given also because Christ wanted to continue to teach his disciples. Now, we touched on this a few minutes ago. The gift of the Holy Spirit represents Jesus Christ's intentional provision to sustain his teaching ministry among his followers after his departure from this earth. As Jesus prepared his disciples for life without his physical presence, he emphasized the Holy Spirit's role as an ongoing educator, ensuring that divine instruction would never cease, but evolve into an intimate internal guidance. Again, John 14:26, which we read, explicitly states that the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, is a helper who stands with and beside all Christians. And the Holy Spirit's dual function, to teach all things and to remind us of Jesus' words, I mean, it really addresses our potential forgetfulness and the need for deeper understanding. This promise underscores our Lord's sincere desire for uninterrupted learning. The Holy Spirit would always illuminate the truth of Scripture, applying our Lord's teachings to new contexts, thus extending Jesus' role as our teacher indefinitely, forever. John, who wrote the gospel that we're referencing a lot today, wrote something very interesting in his first letter. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Now, listen to this. He said, or wrote, "But as for you, Christ has poured out his Spirit on you. As long as his Spirit remains in you, you do not need anyone to teach you. For his Spirit teaches you about everything. And what he teaches is true, it's not false. Obey the Spirit's teaching then, and remain in union with Christ." Now, I would say that this verse has been greatly abused over the years, either on purpose or just accidentally. Of course, all Christians need to be taught. That's not what this verse is saying. Like, we all need to study the Scriptures. We all need to be taught good, solid, biblical teachings in church and in Bible study. What John is doing here, and you really have to read the whole context of 1 John, he was stressing the point that the readers of this letter, they should never be influenced by false teachers, because they themselves are full of the Holy Spirit, who is providing self-sustaining instruction, fulfilling Christ's promise. think about it this way. You are full of the Holy Spirit, who is also known as the Spirit of Truth. Therefore, you should never succumb to any false teachings. And there are false teachers everywhere. False teachers abound in Christendom. Some are false teachers on purpose because they want to lead you astray. Others are false teachers because they themselves were mistaught, or they're false teachers out of ignorance. Well, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Therefore, you should be able to recognize false teaching when you hear it. So everybody listening to my voice, you should never, ever, ever allow yourself to be taken in by any false teacher and his false teachings. I tell people all the time, I've said it over the podcast here, and I say it often at church. If you hear me preaching or teaching something that you've never heard before, or something that sounds kind of funny to you, you need to check it out yourself against the Word of God. Measure my teaching, measure anybody's teaching against God's Word, and make sure it lines up. All right? You can do that because you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Now, you may not know New Testament Greek or Old Testament Hebrew. You may not know the history of the Gospel of John, or you know what I'm saying? You may not know a lot of bibliology. You may not be a Bible scholar. The Holy Spirit does not turn you into a Bible scholar, but the Holy Spirit keeps you walking the straight and narrow in terms of Bible teaching. The Holy Spirit will sound the alarm when you're listening to something that's not right, that's not true. You should always, always weigh the teaching you hear against the Word of God. Now, you may find that new thing that you just heard is completely biblical. That's wonderful. I love when that happens. It means that you've learned something you didn't know before. It's great. Or you may discover that something your pastor said, or God forbid something I said, is not biblical at all. In which case, the thing to do is not to run around dissing your pastor or me, but rather go to that person and say, hey, you said something on Sunday that it doesn't sound right. Look at what the Bible says, and give that person a chance to explain himself. Maybe he'll admit that he was wrong. You know, I've had to do that before. I've misquoted scripture or misapplied scripture. Someone caught me on it. And, and I said, you know, you're right. I apologize. And I'll always go back the next Sunday or whatever and say, by the way, so-and-so, you know, they pointed something out. I did. I misquoted this verse. It was not intentional. It was not on purpose. I've had to do that a few times during my illustrious 40-year career. Nobody's perfect. Now, the third reason, the last reason, the Holy Spirit was given to give witness to Christ and to interpret him to people. Okay, let's talk about this for a couple minutes. The Holy Spirit's ministry also includes bearing witness to Jesus and interpreting his significance to mankind. The Holy Spirit will help you to share the love of Jesus with the lost. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words to share the gospel with the lost. The Holy Spirit will help you to teach a Bible study if you've never done it before. The Holy Spirit will help you to counsel those who need help. So this role, this ministry of the Spirit, ensures Christ's life, his teachings, and his redemptive work remain relevant, vivid, and applicable, empowering any believer to proclaim Jesus while convicting and guiding the world towards God's truth. John 15, 26 and 27, listen to this. The Helper, the Paraclete, will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God, and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me. And you too will speak about me, because you have been with me from the very beginning. So the Holy Spirit, the divine helper, was given specifically to testify about Jesus. And this testimony glorifies Christ, affirming his divinity, his miracles, his death, his resurrection, and so on. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus and equips disciples to join in this process. You know, whenever someone in your church is ministering, let's say they're singing a song during the offering, an offertory. And when they're singing that song, it's beautiful and so on and so forth. If they're giving glory to God while they're ministering, that person is ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But if that person, as they're quote unquote performing their song, if they are receiving the glory, then they're not ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit always reflects or deflects the glory to Jesus all the time. All the time. In Acts 5:32, the apostles said this, "We are witnesses to these things." Like, we are witnesses to what Jesus said and did. "We and the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to those who obey him." John 16:13-15. Listen to this. "When the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and will tell you of things to come. He will give me glory because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has is mine, and that's why I said the Holy Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you." So the Holy Spirit will lead you into all the truth, interpreting Christ's teachings progressively. He glorifies Jesus by unveiling deeper meanings, such as the implications of the cross or of future events, things like that, making Christ's message accessible and relevant to people. This is an interpretive function of the Holy Spirit, and it prevents misunderstanding as the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture and applies it personally to you, and also helping you to apply it to other people's lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And let's say that you teach a Sunday school class, and, you know, someone comes up to you afterwards and says, "Boy, that was an excellent, excellent Sunday school class." Don't glory in that. If anybody got anything from your teaching, it was because of the Holy Spirit. It's like when I preach a sermon, people will come up to me and tell me what a wonderful sermon it was. Best sermon I ever heard in my whole life, Mike. Okay, first of all, I don't believe that. But even if I did, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. I have no talent. No talent when it comes to teaching Scripture. But I have the Holy Spirit. And I have a willing heart. And a desire to be used by the Holy Spirit. A lot of times I get it right. Sometimes I get it wrong because I'm only human. And the same will be true with you. That's why you got to step out in faith. So the Holy Spirit always exalts Christ. He never draws attention to himself. This means that you need to rely on the Holy Spirit for bold testimony and spiritual insight. So I've tried to summarize God's motives for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit today, and I hope it helps you out. You know, it's a very cold, dark, and heartless world out there. God knows this. And that's why he sent his Spirit to dwell in us. It's also a very lonely place. And people being people will always let us down or leave us in the lurch. It's another reason why God gave us his constant presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's always with us. He can never leave us. He can never let us down. He'll never give up on us or abandon us, ever. And the Holy Spirit was given to us eternally, so that we can testify Christ's truth and interpret his eternal relevance to the lost. Well, that's it. It's 31 minutes past the hour. I got to check and see if my tank is drained. Thank you so much, that's the baptismal tank. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. It was so good to have you with us. I hope you have an awesome rest of the day, and Lord willing, we will be back on Wednesday as we continue our Wednesday study, a survey of the Gospel of John. We're almost finished that. So be sure to come back on Wednesday for the next Panic Podcast. God bless all of you. Thanks again for listening.